Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And I call this, actually I'm not calling it this, these are the words of the Holy Spirit, the abundance of grace. The abundance of grace. If you were raised like me where you did not have a message of grace, I apologize. And I want you to relearn your thinking. You hear me? I want to relearn. I want you to relearn. I want to challenge you today to add grace in your life. Grace for others, but more importantly, grace for you. Can you give yourself some grace? I promise you this, He has. God gives you lots of grace. Okay, let's read this. Romans 5, verses 12. He says, therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one man who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from the many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Man, you ought to just shout on that one. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, when I read this passage of Scripture, all I want to say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the grace of God. God, I'm so thankful for this eye-opening Scripture. Now, God, your book is spiritual, and we are carnal by nature. God, we need your help today. I pray, God, that I am so limited, but you are not. I'm praying, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would reveal this to us, God, that you would just download what this passage means to us so that we would understand at a deeper level what you have done. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, in this same chapter, verses 6 through 11, which we preached yesterday or last Sunday, it tells us what God has done for us. You know, how that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for it. It tells us that. But today, in this passage, it tells us why he did it. Why did he do this? I want to ask you a question. Do any of you have older siblings? Yeah, hold your hands up. You have older siblings? Did your older sibling ever do anything and get you in trouble? Well, that's this story right here. I want you to know you have an older sibling. His name was Adam. And Adam sinned and you got punished for it. Amen. Okay, that's the end of the story. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. The other thing that occurred to me is I don't really appreciate it when people make decisions for me. Do you? I don't really like that. You know, the Supreme Court of the land makes decisions, calls it a law, and we have to obey. You don't have to agree, but you have to obey it, right? So there are older brothers who are making decisions for us in our country, in this world. I know most of you believe this. You believe that because you sin, you're a sinner. So today, can I just tell you, it's not because you sin. It's because Adam sinned. You're a sinner not because of what you have done. Now, folks, if you get this, it's going to change everything about the way you see life. You're not a sinner because you've sinned. You're a sinner because of your inheritance. How would you like it, you know, if somebody in your family, they died and they left you an inheritance, and you go to the judge's office and say, "We're going to read the will. Hey, I know your name's in here." You get down to your name and they say something like this, and to Courtney Walker, "We leave all of our debt." That ain't fair. Don't you see that? Don't you feel that? It's not fair that I inherited a sin nature because of what Adam did. It's not fair. It's brilliant. Before he created Adam and Eve, God knew what was going to happen. See, God set something in place that was so brilliant that it passed the devil's mind. The devil didn't see it coming. He agreed, I guess, to this thing that if Adam sinned, that all of us would be born a sinner. He didn't know that there was a God-man coming. And that because of his obedience, we would have a change in life. Amen. So what does it mean that we have a sin nature? It means you have a predisposition to sin. You are predisposed. You have a propensity to sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible tells us real specifically that Adam wasn't deceived. He willfully sinned. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. He chose to sin. And because he sinned, it gave you the nature to sin. We all fight that. That's the battle within us as Christians. It's those two natures are in you, right? And they are at battle. But can I ask you a question? Before you became a Christian, did you care if you sinned? No. As long as you didn't get caught, right? You care if you got caught. But you really didn't care if you sinned. Why? It was your nature. That was who you were born to be. Your nature was to do ugly, to be ugly, to sin, to miss the mark. That was the nature. But when you get born again and you sin, it bothers you. And if it doesn't bother you, that's another issue. We need to talk about that, maybe one-on-one. You know, I grew up, we raised poodles when I was a kid, and so we had dogs in the house, and we sold them, and different things like that. And you know, you can train a dog in a lot of different ways, but you know what you can't do? You can't take the dog out of the dog. I can train it to, we've trained dogs to pray and praise. They would stand up on their legs and do this. I couldn't ever get to say hallelujah, but it would. I'd say, praise the Lord. We tried to get it to no, I'm not going to go there. You know, Michelle Craig, she has a pig in her house. She got a pet pig. And I went over to her house. That sucker is huge. I mean, it's big. And that big old pig will get on the couch and lay its head on Michelle's lap. I mean, she's got it trained. I mean, it doesn't make messes. It doesn't do anything. You could put a dress on that pig, but if you open the door and you let that pig go out, you know what it's going to do? It's going to find a mud hole, even in its dress. Why? Because that's its nature. You know, when we had a dog, as Treva and I didn't grow up, Treva didn't grow up with dogs in the house. They were her dad had hounds, and our dog used to just embarrass the fire out of her, and she was well trained, I'm telling you. But when you got company over our house, sometimes Lily would just go right in front of the company and raise its leg and begin to clean itself. And that would just embarrass Truth. She'd, "Oh, Lily, get out of here!" You know, dog's just being a dog. What's your point, Pastor? When you sin before Christ, you're just being yourself. That's your nature. Because Adam sinned, you inherited this nature. You have a propensity to want to sin. That's just the way it is. Older brother made a mistake and you paid the price. He did also. In John chapter 3, a man came at night, a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He was a spiritual ruler. And he came to Jesus and he said something like this. He said, "We know you're of God." He said, "Nobody can do what you've been doing and not be of God." And he was trying to verbalize his questions, but he could not even verbalize a question. So Jesus just began to speak to him. And Jesus began to tell him, I believe, the questions that were really on his heart that he needed answered. And Jesus said something like this to Nicodemus. He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." This is so good. You got to get it. "Nicodemus, when you were born, you inherited a sin nature. Like everybody in this room, you got to be reborn." Nicodemus said, "How can that? I'm an old man. My mama's gone. How can I go back in mama's womb?" He didn't understand it. Jesus began to explain to him, "You got to be born by natural birth, but by spiritual birth." Why? You need a change of nature. God wants to lift off the curse that you have been walking under and give you a new nature. Folks, if you get this, if you understand what salvation truly is, it's going to change your life forever. See, sometimes we've made it all about rules. Well, you got to do this and you got to do that. Oh, nonsense, stop it. Salvation is about Him changing you. You must be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, creation in Christ." What's that mean? It means you had the devil was your daddy, and now Jesus is your daddy. He changes everything about you. But it doesn't feel like it. And we're so conditioned to going by feelings. But I'm telling you, when you really surrender your heart to Jesus, there's a change that happens. He takes that sinful nature away from you. Does that mean I quit sinning? No. But it means it displeases you when you sin. You see, before, I didn't care if I sinned. Sort of enjoyed it. Had a good time sinning. But when I accepted Christ and I sinned, it bothered me. You know why? It went against my nature. My nature had been changed. I couldn't see it, but I knew something's different. He made me a new creature. I believe this. I believe your DNA changes. Why wouldn't it? You got a new daddy. So I don't have the DNA from Adam anymore. I don't have that propensity to sin. I have a propensity to do the Lord's work, to do His will, whatever He's called me to do. That's why it displeases me so much when I mess up. Doesn't it you? I mean, we mess up, we sin. And there's lots of people that's going to tell you, "You're just a sinner." Please, please, please change your vocabulary. Change your thoughts. You're not, you used to be a sinner. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Until you get that revelation, you're not going to live to the full potential of what He wants to do in your life. He says that all things have become new. Verse 18 says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself. Do you get this now? He's reconciled. You know what it means to reconcile, right? You reconcile your bank statements. Well, some of you don't, but you should. Trying to blend the two. You were associated with the devil because of Adam. But now Christ, through the born again experience, now you are reconciled. You're pulled together with Christ. The division is gone. The separation is gone. Romans 5:2, now He has given you access to the Father. I'm hoping that this pulls all this chapter together today. He said He's reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's another message almost altogether. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their sins, their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, through this scripture, He talks a lot about sin being imputed to you after the law came. Before the law, sin was not imputed to you. What in the world is He talking about? Best way I can explain it is this. When you go to the store and you buy a bunch of stuff and you give them your credit card, you're not really paying for it. All you're really doing is you're giving them some credit information. And they run that credit information, and then your credit company imputes that to your account. You now owe that credit company. Walmart's been satisfied. Credit company says, I'll take care of that. But they charged your account for that money. That charge was imputed to you. When law came, sin was imputed to you. But before the law, it was not imputed to them. It's like this. If you discipline your children before they know the rule, shame on you. See, if there's no law in your house, you have no right to discipline your children. If they don't know that you expect them to tell the truth and you will not tolerate a lie, don't you spank them when they lie to you. You never spank a child for an accident. You don't discipline children for spilling their milk. That's being a child. If you have a rule in your house, don't throw the ball, and your child throws the ball, then you can discipline them. But if you don't have the rule, you don't have the law, you don't have the right to discipline a child if he don't know the law. And that's what God's saying right here. He said, before the law came, you didn't know my rules. But after I gave you the law, there was a standard of righteousness. You knew the rule. You break the rule, you go see the principal. He's right back here. I'm going to put him as a principal of this church. You give me any sass, you go to Chris. Because the law was established. Doesn't that make sense? Makes perfectly good sense, I think. Until the law came, they didn't have to account for it. When Adam sinned, you inherited a sinful nature. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, he said, among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Are you getting it? It was your nature. He says, by nature, you fulfilled the lust. You fulfilled the desires of your flesh and mind by your nature. But verse 4 then says, but God. Aren't you thankful that God says, this needs to stop? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes would not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. But verse 17 is just as important. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might have life. You see, too many of us feel like God is ready to condemn us if we mess up. He did not come to bring condemnation. He came to change your nature so that the desires that motivated you would change, so that now you're not directed from an external, you're directed from an internal. Does that make sense? Because the Holy Spirit is within you. I don't have to stand up here and say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. The Spirit of God is in you. How many, this week, I said something to Sherry Marlin about a politician. It was not sweet. I promise you it was not sweet. It was ugly. And as soon as I said it, I mean the words were no, they were just out of my mouth. And the Spirit of God said, oh, that's ugly. You shouldn't have said that. I didn't need Sherry to tell me. Sherry didn't tell me that. She just looked at me like, you sinner. Nobody had to tell me. You see, yeah, we have rules that we sort of manufacture. When I was a kid, if you smoked a cigarette, you're going to hell. And it was 400-pound preachers that told you that. I never heard a sermon against the fork, but I heard a lot of sermons against things that we didn't do. Let's quit making up stuff, okay? Let's quit manufacturing. And allow the Holy Spirit. I don't have to tell Larry everything to do. Jesus has got it. I get in the way of the Holy Ghost when I start dictating to you. Let me tell you, I don't care if your hair's long. I don't care if you have tattoos. I just don't care. It doesn't matter. What I care is Jesus in your heart? Has He changed your nature? Are you listening to the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God is that treasure that's in you. And whether you know it or not, He is directing. He's the one that says, oh, don't do that again. He's the one that says, stop gossiping. It's not godly. Don't tell that dirty joke. Preacher, don't say that in the pulpit. Hear that quite a bit. The Spirit of God. See, I have an internal and an external. I have a wife that sits on the front row, so when I say something I shouldn't, she bows her head and starts doing this. That's my external Holy Ghost. She's not here today. That's why you got the dog story. The other week we were talking about something. I forgot what it was. But she looked at me and she said, please don't say that in the sermon. Guess what? I did anyway. And she didn't chastise me too hard. But God, who is rich in mercy, are you beginning to see the brilliance of God's plan? It doesn't seem fair that I inherited a sin nature from a guy I didn't even know. It wasn't fair. It was brilliant. Only God knew that Adam would sin. But He knew that one day He would send His Son. Because one man's disobedience brought the curse. One man's obedience brings life everlasting. It's brilliant. Second Corinthians 5:21. I love this verse. He says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. For He made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Isaiah said this back 1,500 years ago before the Scriptures was totally written. He said this, my sin compared to God is like a filthy garment. See, or my righteousness. If you're trying to live in your own righteousness, you can't cut it. You can't be good enough. Your righteousness compared to God is still dirty. We could not make ourselves righteous enough, right? We couldn't do it in ourselves. The law was given, but the law didn't make us righteous. The law only brought us a standard of righteousness to which we couldn't live. We couldn't keep it. It was so frustrating, right? Folks, this is the way I grew up, living by the law. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. The reason we had 400-pound preachers was because the only thing that church members could do was eat. Isn't it so much better if we just allow Him, just allow the Holy Spirit to be Holy Spirit? He'll lead you and guide you. But again, I say this. I want to change your mental image. I want you to see that He changed your nature. You don't have to work at being good. You're righteous because He is good. It's a gift of God. Gave you that righteousness. So our nature begins to change. Now Paul, you know, sometimes as a preacher, you just feel like you're beating the horse. It's like, oh man, are they getting it? I just keep saying it. I say it this way, and then I say it this way, and then I say it this way. Well, Paul was the master at beating the horse. I mean, didn't that sound like he's just saying it as many ways as he could? He had really one message in this thing. You inherited bad from Adam, you inherited good from Jesus. I could have said it just like that and we'd be done. 5 times, Paul is, now, I say Paul, let's change that just a little bit. Paul had the pen in his hand, but the author was the Holy Spirit. I'm always amazed at the way the Holy Spirit pens things, the way He writes things. You remember Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I think, that He will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power that's within you. He could have just said, He'll do great things. But that wasn't good enough. Are you getting this? The Holy Spirit was driving home a point in Ephesians 3:20. He said He'll do exceedingly great things above what you think or ask. He was just trying to show you He's so much greater than what you think. He's so much more powerful than what you believe. So in this passage of Scripture, He says they're not getting it yet, Paul. Write it this way. Write it this way. Write it this way. So I've tried to make a slide to where you can see very clearly through Adam you got this. Your inheritance from Adam was this. Your inheritance from Jesus was this. So look at this. From Adam, you got sin and death. Do you realize that God didn't kick Adam and Eve out of the garden because He was mad at them? It was mercy that He had to get them out of the garden. Because there was another tree in that garden. You remember it? It was the tree of life. If they had eaten of the tree of life after they had sinned, they would have lived forever. You know how decrepit our bodies get in 70, 80, 90, 100 years? What if we were 2,000 years old? You think we have a mess now taking care of the older folks as the workforce gets smaller and the aging population gets bigger? What if we were caring for people that were 6,000 years old? So you're blowing my mind, Pastor. I'm just telling you the truth. It was the mercy of God that said, Adam, you got to leave. It wasn't the judgment of God. My, how we get things wrong. Through Adam, we get sin and death. But through Jesus, we got the grace of God. Oh, folks, there is nothing you could do to deserve it. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough for Him. God just said, I love you so much. The closest we get to this is our kids. You want to do good for your kids. You want to bless them. You want to give things to them, even when they're rotten. Have you ever read a report of somebody whose son did something terrible? Maybe they were a mass murderer. There's a mama back there still loves him. It's called grace. Folks, we were dead in our sin. We were evil by nature. But God, who's rich in mercy, loved us. That's grace. We understand grace for salvation, but do you understand grace for everything else? Grace for your healing. Grace for your prosperity. Grace for a mind change. God is... Man, I wish I could just download some stuff in my spirit to you. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we must be renewed in our minds. We are transformed. Jesus saves your spirit in one day like that and your nature is changed, but it takes you a lifetime to change this. That's why I cannot preach hard enough or long enough to you about reading the Word of God. Because when you read the Word of God, He starts changing you. He changes the image of who you are on the inside. You begin to think like Him. Woo, that's powerful. And it's grace. If you get this, you'll stop being so judgmental and so legalistic with you. I have talked to so many people that are so hard on themselves. Give yourself some grace. God does. Yes, you're not perfect. Through Adam, you got judgment and condemnation. A lot of you think that's God. God does not give you condemnation. God does not condemn you. Read John 3:17. Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He come to save your sorry self. Kelleher rendition. Through Adam, we got condemnation, but through Jesus, we got justification. Now, justification and righteousness are really close together. A lot of times we use them interchangeably, but here's what the part that I like. Please listen. Justification means this. God declared you righteous. Just like God spoke and there was a sun in the sky, God spoke and the earth was, God spoke and said, Rick, you are righteous. Doesn't matter what you feel. Get it in your heart, guys. Get it in your mind. God declared you righteous. Therefore, one day you will stand before an almighty holy God and He will say, enter in, well done, my good and faithful servant, because I declared you righteous 40 years ago or maybe 15 seconds ago. Ooh, that is so powerful. Through Adam, death reigned. Everyone dies. You get it? Preached a funeral this week. I told this family, I said, there's one word I try not to use in a funeral, especially the funeral of a Christian. I try never to say that she's lost, that she's gone. Because she ain't lost. We know where she's at. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Death reigned before we were Christians. Before you're born again, death reigns. Everything that you do is leading you to a quick grave. But not in God. In Christ, life. Life reigns. I come that you might have eternal life. Life to the fullest. Life is a blessing. I'm going to speed up just a little bit. In Adam, we're made sinners. We get that one. But in Christ, we're made righteous. You know what that means? Morally perfection. Moral perfection. You're made perfect. You say, Pastor, you really don't know me very well. Yeah, but I know me. And I know me in myself. I am not morally perfect. But in Christ, that's what counts. Because I got a new nature. He made me morally perfect. In Adam, sin abounds. It's all we want to do is sin. But in Jesus, grace abounds. Grace abounds. Enough grace to forgive you past, present, future. That's powerful, folks. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49, it says, "When we have borne the image of the man of dust, we have borne the image of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Yeah, somebody is, yeah, that's good. We are being changed in the likeness of Christ. You remember the old song, "It Gets Sweeter"? It gets sweeter as the days go by. The more you know of Him, it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter living for Jesus. Why? Because we're beginning to act and look like Him. In Galatians chapter 3, he says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He took our place. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Praise Jesus. You don't have to die the way you were born. Christ died so that you could have life. So that you would get a new nature. You know, we talked to Dalton in Sunday school, and I love this young man, and I see such a desire to walk with God. And I just ask him to explain to us. He got saved about a year ago, and he talked about how God was changing. He didn't say nature. He says, basically, my activity. I used to be this way. I don't want to act like that anymore. Why? He got a new nature. See, we say born again, and that's sort of a Christianese word. You got a new nature. Now you don't have a propensity to sin. Now I have a propensity to do the will of God. That is good. I was born under a curse, but I've been born again under a blessing. Let me just read two more verses, and that's just because, and I'm going to cover these next week, but Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul says, "Are you silly?" "Certainly not," he said. "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" So we don't use grace as an excuse to do what we want to do. Excuse me. We don't use grace as an excuse to live ungodly. That's called cheap grace, and I really doubt your salvation. You see, there's a scripture that says at the end times that Jesus was going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And people are going to start saying, wait, just a second. I cast out demons in your name. I gave a lot of money in the church. I was a deacon. I was this, I was that, I did this and I did that. And he says, "I never knew you." You didn't have a nature change. I'm not preaching condemnation, but I want to make sure every one of you know, I am born again. See, saying I am born again doesn't say I'm a good person. Doesn't say I'm a long way from perfect, but it says my nature has changed. And the things that I used to want to do, I don't want to do them anymore. Now I want to do His will. That's what Paul said. Paul said, there's a battle in me because I still get drawn to do this. I still want to use that mouth of mine ungodly sometimes. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You can't even imagine the times he stops me. Some of you think if it passes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. I promise you that's not so. I promise you there's a lot of things that go through my mind that the Spirit of God says, oh, stop that nonsense. And then there's a lot of things that pass, get by me. And you know, for that, I have grace. I have grace. Thank God for His grace. We couldn't do it. You can't do it yourself. It takes the grace of God. The unmerited favor. God loved you before you were you. Jeremiah said, God knew me in my mother's womb. God's always loved you. If we could only receive what salvation truly means, get the legalism out. I tell you, I can't imagine why anyone would not accept Jesus as their Savior. It blows my mind. I just don't understand it. The only thing I can comprehend is we have messed up the sermon. We have preached legalism instead of grace. Because if people knew, if they knew how good He was, if they knew that everything that He wants to do in your life is going to be for your benefit, why would you not accept Him? Just doesn't make sense. Would you stand with me? I want you to bow your head. And I want you to close your eyes. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I want there to be a seriousness in the house. No talking. No looking around. It's time that we settle a matter. My question to you: are you born again? Has Jesus Christ changed your nature? Only you know. I promise you, you can fool me, but you cannot fool God. You can put on a good face, a happy face, and you can be the number one attendant at Bridge of Hope Church, and it doesn't make you saved. You can give the biggest offerings in this church and it doesn't make you saved. Does that make sense? You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't even understand it. What's it mean, Pastor? It means you need to pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Would you change my nature? I want to be more like you than Adam. Would you come inside of me and be my Lord and my Savior? And if you'll do that, I will attempt to follow you all the days of my life. Again, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Because, you know, honestly, there may be people in this church that have played the part for 40 years. But today, you may pray the prayer of truly surrendering to Christ. And when you do, the peace of God that passes all understanding will flood your heart and your mind. It's the one commodity that comes with salvation that we can be thankful for and know that it's there, is the peace of God. All of a sudden, your mind can be at rest. God will give you peace. I'm going to pray. You can pray with me. You can repeat my prayer. It doesn't matter. What matters is what's coming from your heart. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins today. Lord, I'm a sinner right after Adam. And I'm asking you to forgive me and change my nature today. God, I pray that you would come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Give me a new nature, new DNA, so that I would be more like Jesus. God, I humbly confess that I was a sinner, that I am a sinner. But Lord, I pray right now for your righteousness to come upon me. Forgive me and make me righteous. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Do you realize if you prayed that with sincerity, that something great has happened in you? Something probably more powerful than it's ever happened before. Your nature just got changed. You became a new creation in Christ. Old things, all the sin that you have committed to this point has been forgiven. You're new. You're fresh like a baby. Now grow with Him. Let God do great things in your life. Amen. Brother Danny, come in this.
I love how when we read through the book of Romans, we see that the Holy Spirit knew who His audience was. Because the church at Rome, remember, Rome was a city full of politicians and lawyers. And so when the Holy Spirit wrote the letter to the church at Rome, we see He talks a lot about justification. Even the section we read today, the word justification is used twice just in that short section. Because they needed to understand that Jesus came to pay the penalty for their sin. It's just a great reminder to me to see that God was in control of everything, and He doesn't forget who we are, does He? Thank you. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.